morning, BAI family. My name is Mel Wright, and I met Samori several times. I think it was about the first or second time that I met him. I think we were on Eastern Parkway, and we were talking about what was happening in the community, and he was saying that, you know, there was a woman, an elderly woman, that was being robbed. And I don't use the word mug because I hate that word. And he said that he went to a rescue, and he said the guys, some kids, they pulled a knife or a gun on him and took his watch. But this just told me that what kind of person Samori was, that he wouldn't just stand by and see an incident like that go down without trying to help. And it told me something about him. And I think we all are going to miss that voice and the information and wisdom that came with that voice. So I just say, you know, blessings to him as he journeys on. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sharon Maeda, and as a newcomer to New York, all of you know what Samori has meant to the listening audience and to the larger community for justice and human rights. I would like to take just a moment to tell you about what Samori meant internally to Pacifica over all the years that he was involved. As you all know, there are many struggles in Pacifica, and we weren't always on the same side of issues, but he had a way of raising the questions, being principled, always on the side of justice, and always looking out for those who didn't have a stronger voice in the network. For example, WPFW, the sister station in Washington, D.C., was started after a six-year struggle to get the first or the last public radio frequency in that market. At the time, there was no station that was by, for, and about African Americans. And that was Pacifica's intention. But by the time it got on the air, there weren't very many funds available to really get the station started. And Samori was the one person in the system that always said we needed to focus on how to help resource WPFW so it really could get on its feet and be the kind of Pacifica stations that WBAI and the others had been. Very recently, I renewed my respect and friendship with Samori. He asked me to be on the air to talk a little bit about the years that I was at Pacifica as a part of the 50th anniversary celebration. And in his way of using humor and understatement, he said to me, well, Sharon, and this was on the air just a few weeks ago, why do you suppose it is that although you were executive director of the Pacifica Network for 6 years, that your name is not mentioned in any of the books that have been written about Pacifica? He, more than anyone else, understood the issues of class, race, and gender as it affected Pacifica and the whole society. He was a wonderful brother, and we're really going to miss him. Thank you.
Please, will all scheduled speakers please go over on that side of the room and walk into the sacristy? Please, now, all scheduled speakers, thank you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Asha Kambon, and I come from Trinidad and Tobago. And I represent an organization called the Emancipation Support Committee. Brother Samori and I go back very, very many years as we formed the West Indian Students Organization together changed it into the African Caribbean Students Movement and eventually into the African Mobilization Committee. The ancestors brought me here and made it possible for me to be here today because I just came in from Trinidad 2 days ago and only found out of his death when I picked up an Amsterdam news. To his family and our friends, I can only say that I wish them well and strength. To my brother Samurai, I say go well. At home, we have called this year celebrating the Pan-African Century. And we look back at all those Africans who contributed to this particular century. And we say that the century has closed with the passing of our own brother, Kwame Ture from Trinidad and Tobago, whom you may know as Stokely Carmichael. But as well, now I will go home and say to them that we've lost another warrior, and that is Samurai Marksman. So to his family and to our dear friends all, my brother, go well.
My name is Kamau Kalfani. I'm the president of the Patterson Kwanzaa Committee, but I'm also a student of life. And in 1994, I returned to the East Coast after a family breakup and a few travesties in my life. And most people at BAI didn't know it, but that's where I was being healed. I would run into Samori at the end of the night and again in the beginning of the morning because many times I'd stayed there all night. He had this very quiet way of letting you know it's all right. So the best thing that I thought I could do was take his teachings, understand his philosophy, and incorporate that into the end goal, which was liberation and justice. And as every freedom fighter knows, the only ones who genuinely appreciate that are those who are fighting next to you. So we come today to pay honor to a fallen soldier, no, general. And that was my obligation, my responsibility. And I'll take the word back to the community that I come from of how many people came to honor the memory of a great man. Adupe, we thank you.
I wrote this poem for Samori the morning that I heard. I was listening to BAI and heard about his passing. How successfully you succeeded in bringing us the sky. Rains somewhere in the African desert. Creation moving in the wind. Somewhere behind your eyes, a world made brilliant in peace. You wove your just dream into our community. Your vision drew close, merging with our lives. Today in early spring, we joined the ancestors. Today we wept for a great brother. He was revolution, even as blown seeds take root. Again we plant ashes, saying goodbye to a brother. What can we learn, Samori, from this blue eclipse taking you from our world? Spring slowly descends. I turn my eyes to an African moon. Keep looking.
Good morning. My name is Kalia Washington. I'm on Wake Up Call with Bernard White to Samori Marksman's family, to the WBAI family, and to our extended family of listeners and supporters. I just want to briefly share how fortunate I was to have been able to know Samori, because I know that he was a warrior. To say thank you, Samori, for your time and your commitment and your dedication to the struggle. I know how all of us as immediate and extended family, and in particular BAI family members, feel.
And as you know, in all families, we don't always get along. And unfortunately, sometimes it has to be a crisis or an emergency for us to realize how much we love each other, how much we appreciate each other, and how much someone who is very, very strong but also quietly resistant is doing so much to keep us together. So I would like to share that in so much as Samori has made his transition from brother, father, friend, co-worker, boss, to beloved ancestor, that we all, individually as well as collectively, try to take the best of what we got from him and integrate it in some form into our everyday lives. Thank you for letting me share.
Good morning, everyone. I'm sad that we have to meet on such an occasion. I'm a former student of Samori, and I'd like to pay a special tribute to him. A tribute to a wonderful and endearing human being. I have come to know Samori Maxman as a professor, mentor, and extraordinary human being. Professor Samori has definitely left his mark. In fact, he has left an indelible impression on me as a human being and prospective journalist. Although it has only been a short time since I've come to know him, I feel as though he's always been a part of my life. You see, Professor Maxman has enlightened my mind in such a way that I see him as my guardian angel. He went beyond his call of duty as an ordinary professor and invested his time, knowledge, patience, and wisdom to guide me along my right path as I embark on my professional career in journalism. Before his untimely death, I spoke with him on March 18th for the last time. I was to meet with him that day to explore the possibility of bringing to life a project I hold dearly in my heart. He told me that he had to go to Riverside Church that day and would be back at the station about 1:30. I got there about 12:50 p.m. and waited for 40 minutes, but had to leave because my lunch hour was over. I left Samori a message and a copy of my proposal at the front desk. However, it puzzles me that he did not return my call after a week. This Monday, I decided to call him. After checking my messages at home, I got the disturbing and unbelievable news of his passing on my answering machine. I can only describe the faint, trembling feeling at that point that caused my co-workers to question what had happened. I felt severely cheated and nauseous. One of the two individuals who believed in my potential was no longer going to be there. Moreover, it occurred to me that other students would not experience the enormous power of his tutelage. For this reason, I am more desperate in my efforts to see my dream materialize. I hope and pray that someone out there will take me under their wings and share their knowledge, time, patience, and wisdom like Samori did, and give me a chance to realize my goal as a journalist. To his co-workers, we all know that he has left you all behind, but with a remarkable memory of a wonderful human being. To his family, God is watching and thanking you for one of his greatest gifts, a wonderful human being, Samori. Especially to his son, of whom he often spoke, you've got a great role model. Continue in his footsteps and make him proud. May he always be remembered for the person he was. May God bless him and rest his soul. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Father Lawrence Lucas of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of New York. Today's not a sad day. I think it's a beautiful and wonderful and glorious day. I'm not so sure how long I've known Samari, but it certainly goes back many, many years. Samari would not be called in the present-day understanding of the nonsense we call religion a religious man. I don't think Samari entered buildings called churches too often in his life since I've known him. He did used to come to Resurrection at the time I was pastor there, but it wasn't in the usual sense of make noise, get fleeced, and go home. Samari was a brilliant man, as we all know, a fine mind, but he fed that mind. There are many of fine minds that we know that go starving for truth and facts. For Samari was an avid reader. He coupled that with a fantastic sense of humor. And when I say a sense of humor, I do not mean he was a stand-up comic, but actually he was able to see the ridiculousness and the humor in much of the present-day and past-day situations. Coupled with that, he was a fantastic human being and a dedicated one, dedicated particularly to those who are victims of oppression, racism, greed, and every other kind of injury that harms human beings. The proof of his dedication, of course, was seen in the hours that he spent on VAR, a man who was thoroughly overworked and very much underpaid. Nobody I know would have put up with the kind of work and the kind of pay and the battles that he fought in order to keep WBAI on the track that he so marvelously set for them, so that it does not disintegrate. So that rather than being the voice of the people, the alternative to corporate media, we hope it does not, and those of us who are of the BAI family and those who are still working it must continue an even greater struggle to keep WBAI in the direction that Samari has pointed it. We should not be sad today because of the loss of Samari, because the legacy he has left behind means that it is not a loss, but that God, having seen the work and the dedication, decided that it's time to give this brother a rest and a decent paycheck. And so we say this morning to all of us gathered here, this family, Rita, his brother, his children, his wider family of his sisters, the wider family of the WBAI workers, and those of us who are thoroughly dedicated to the education that we receive from WBAI, far greater than any nonsense you could get from a Harvard or Yale or you name it. We want to thank God for the years, short as it were, that Samari was in our lives. And we ask God now to welcome this brother back home and to continue to watch over, to love and protect and guide us, those who he has merely temporarily left behind.
My name is Akbenor Taiwo Mwadi. Last two Fridays ago, myself and Brother Samari were in the number two train, and I asked him, I said, I'll see you on Monday. When we're about to leave, he was going to the Riverside Church. He said, no, don't call me on Monday, I'm going to go on a trip. If you don't hear from me by Tuesday, know I've gone on that trip. The Monday morning, I heard on BAI that he had passed. Brother Samari was a revolutionary, and I'm not going to take anybody's time other than to set his soul, his spirit, and the strength and energy that he has exercised in this realm of mankind to that of the ancestors. I am going to ring my bell 16 times. Please bear with me. On the 16th, after the 16th time, please just stamp your foot on the soil that his ashes is going to be laid so that it can rise again and join the revolutionary struggle. Thank you very much.
Morning. I'm Cliff Joseph, visual artist, and occasionally I have the inspiration to do a poem. Listening to my brothers and sisters of the BAI family while they commiserated over the loss of Brother Samari, I heard him referred to as the commander. And so I wrote this brief poem to the commander. Samari, a brave, passionate warrior in our struggle for justice and peace, a marksman whose prophetic words of worldly wisdom, armed with relevant facts of matters, always aimed arrows straight at the vital heart of truth, gone to join the highest realm of souls, yet his work with us in spirit will not cease. Samari, presente.
Morning. My name is Saeed Green from Antigua, and I'm here to celebrate the life and time of my friend and colleague. Only two Thursdays ago, we spoke with excitement about the preliminary plans that we had to put together the first African Science Conference in Antigua. Our lecture series begins in June, and my friend and colleague is not here to present what we planned for so much. So that this time we will call the lecture series in Antigua the Samari Marksman Lecture Series, in which we'll use the very best minds of the professionals and lecturers that knew Samari and believed in his work as much as he did. So we look forward now as we continue this great work, because he will want it no other way. Again, on behalf of the Antigua Publishing Company and our lecture series, our heartfelt condolences to his family and, of course, the BAI family. The lecture series will continue because he would have wanted it to be so. Thank you.
Will the drummers assemble over here, those of you who are drummers, those of you who have brought your drums. Okay? And once you get here, move back there. So assemble right over there.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Eugenio Reyes Barona. I'm the representative of the Puerto Rican Independence Party. It is very hard, and it has been very hard for us, to receive the passing of this brother. Samori was born in a given place of the world, but yet many of you do not know that he was Puerto Rican. You do not know that he was Asian, that he was African, he was European, he was part of the human race. As el comandante Ernesto Che Guevara has said, enough, enough injustice. The leadership of the Puerto Rican Independence Party sent to each and every one of you, to the listeners, to the staff of WBAI, our deepest condolences. We have a thought, and I will recite it in Spanish. I will try to make it, try the translation in Spanish into English. And it goes, si llorar debemos, debemos llorar. Si llorar debemos, lloremos. Pero que sea breve, porque la lucha no ha terminado. If cry we must cry. But let it be brief, because the struggle is a continuation, continued at all times. Brothers, comrades, Samori Marchman, wherever you are, in the future, in Puerto Rico, we will receive you, your thoughts, your inspiration, and what you stood for. We will always remember you. Free the world, free the world, free Puerto Rico.
Greetings. My name is Richard Hoyen, and I have worked with Samori in the days of Caribbean solidarity in the late 60s, early 70s. Samori, John Reed, was a journalist, and he became very involved with the Russian Revolution. Samori is a journalist, but he's an activist journalist. And throughout his entire years, he made the Caribbean, he made solidarity work here, but also participated in the unfolding of revolutionary activities worldwide, and he made that commitment. And I must say that the commitment that we make, revolutionaries too often die too young. They die too young from the stress of the movement, or they die from the assassin's bombs or bullets. And we have to create conditions where we as revolutionaries can struggle at the same time try to relax to avoid the stress of the system places upon us. And Samori, if we are to do and honor Samori, all those upcoming revolutionaries and all those revolutionaries, and although the path is very difficult, we have to make it very easy. And we have to take away some of the stress by bringing more people in so that more people can do the work that one of us do so often. I bring condolences to the family from the Caribbean community, from the entire Caribbean region. When I heard of his passing, I called the Caribbean comrades in the Caribbean, and all of them have told me to express their condolences to all of you, and in particular to the family. Thank you very much.
My name is Ant Baronese, and I'm from Englewood, New Jersey. And Samori, even though he's so busy as program director, came out to our library to do a part of a BAI speaker series about 4 or 5 years ago. He touched everybody, and I especially remember spending a little time waiting for the bus in the dark in the car with him and a couple of other people from Englewood. And I just want to say that I didn't know Samori. I wasn't his friend, so to speak, but every time he saw me, he remembered me. I think a lot of listeners feel that way. Every time we called in a volunteer, if you remember, to volunteer money, he or to come to the station, he remembered us. So I came with my friends from Englewood today to say that we love, we miss, we respect Samori.
Good afternoon. I want to do two quick things. Number one, I do want to say how much I admired and appreciated Samori. Number one, he had a humility that was profound. And number two, he had a humor that few people knew about, and perhaps he only showed it to those of us that could appreciate it. You know, it is said that humorists are geniuses, those who can help us to lighten the moment in trouble and difficult times. He was a rare soul indeed, and we shall miss him very, very much. Now, the second major task that has come upon me and to which I accepted with great honor, and I know that you will appreciate it. Some of you might know that I am a minister, at least some people think so. Others think I'm a whole lot of other things but a minister. But one of the things that some people think that we are good at is asking people to contribute in tangible ways, indications of their love. Now, I know and you know, and I need not elaborate, that there is a need for some concrete expressions of our love for Samori. And toward that end, because we knew you would be eager and in fact would fight us if we did not ask you to, see in your envelope, in your program, if you look in your program, you will see an envelope. Is it there? No? Now, usually we say amen if you, do you say amen? It's there? No? Okay, well, we'll take care of that. But you don't need an envelope to express yourself. You can do so at the back. There will be people in the back to whom you can express your love in a very concrete way. And what I'm saying, listen, what I'm saying, we'd like to have you to give us an expression for Brother Samori Mossman, his family. There are things that need to be done. And we just would like for you to express yourself in a very concrete way. And since I, my background, we believe that the spirit grows on, that the death is not the final end. We just go through a transition. So somewhere in this vast auditorium, Samori is watching you. And he's looking to see what you're going to do if you really love him. And he's going to say, now let me see what you do when you get in the back. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ralph Carter. On behalf of the splendid memory of our brother Samori, I'd like to ask you to repeat with me in the words of Marcus Garvey, and my brief presentation will be done in two sections, all right? In the words of Marcus Garvey, repeat, look for me in the whirlwind.
or the storm. Look for me all around you. For with God's grace, I shall come again and bring with me countless millions of Africans who have died in America and in the West Indies. And they killed millions in Africa. We will aid you in your fight for liberty, for freedom, for life. I'm aware that Samari loved the works of Maurice Bishop. I also did too. This song I wrote quite a few years ago is a tribute to the memory of Maurice Bishop, and it is entitled Fighters Mourn Too. I've been on the earth long enough to know freedom fighters come and freedom fighters go. And I wrote this song to help us in some way. I want my people to grow stronger every day. And I should know, 'cause I'm a fighter. I've been on the earth long enough to see the possibilities of what true freedom can bring. And our leaders, yes, they left us with a spark, but it's up to every man and woman to make their mark. And I should know, 'cause I'm a fighter. And fighters mourn too, yeah, whoa. Well, they mourn like me and you, yeah, whoa. Well, fighters mourn too, yeah, whoa. Well, they mourn like me and you, yeah, whoa. I should know, 'cause I'm a fighter, yeah, whoa. Maurice Bishop mourn too, yeah, whoa. Well, they mourn like me and you, yeah, whoa. Marcus Garvey mourn too, yeah, whoa. Well, they mourn like me and you, yeah, whoa. I should know, 'cause I'm a fighter, yeah, whoa. Dr. Coffey mourn too, yeah, whoa. Well, they mourn like me and you, yeah, whoa. Professor Scobie mourn too, yeah, whoa. Well, they mourn like me, yeah, whoa. I should know, 'cause I'm a fighter, yeah, whoa. Brother Samari mourn too, yeah, whoa. Well, they mourn like me, yeah, whoa. And Sister Rita mourn too, yeah, whoa. Well, she mourns like me, yeah, whoa. I should know, 'cause I'm a fighter. And we really should know, if we are fighting.
I'm through now.
And perhaps I should have been sitting with the rest of my family. On the other hand, I think it is fitting that I be given this opportunity to represent this family And I'm not going to attempt to enumerate and to further elucidate on their fine character, the marks of distinction, the heights of achievement that my first cousin has experienced in his short lifetime. Upon entering this beautiful edifice this morning, I overheard one speaker, I believe very truthfully, referring to the fact that Samari, from his knowledge, was not an individual who frequented the houses of religion. But I want to stand here this morning in testimony to my deceased aunt, his mother, and his father, to bear testimony to part of his upbringing. Yes, he did attend Sunday school. And he knew what it meant to have a fear of God. Do I have an amen for that? And we need to be reminded that a building is not built from the top down, but from the bottom up. And he had a foundation which has brought him to this place and to this time. It was one of the great saints of the early church, Augustine, who said, "Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." Yes. I want to say this day, without adding or subtracting from all that has been said and will be said before the close of this celebration, the Holy Writ tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die. And so if it is appointed unto man once to die, it begs the question, therefore, that it is appointed unto man once to be born. But having said that, it is inevitable and indeed reasonable to further suggest that it is appointed unto man once to live. Once to live. It is like entering upon one's education and enrolling in a curriculum. And one looks forward to the day of graduation. But graduation will not come before hard, arduous work. It is that interim period of study, meditation and devotion to one's preparation for life. Surely, we have before us not a dead corpse, not the remains of someone who simply came and did something, and we have all gathered here today to pay tribute to him. But remember what the word says. The good that man does lives after him or her. I want to say further. The most important period of one's life is not in being born or even in coming to death. Threshold. But it is in the living. It is in that interim period when we, as it were, exercise our freedom, utilize our opportunities to do, to endure,
to celebrate, yes, to come to a recognition, as the Greeks would say, noon kairos, the now time. Most of us, you see, seem to live chronologically. We take time to think about, to anticipate, to hope for, to expect a season in which we can revel, in which we can frolic and have fun. But the most important time that you and I have, my friends, is noon kairos, the now time, the here of your body and mind, in this present moment, not the next, not tomorrow. This time in which you and I are so fortunate as to be alive, we must maximize the opportunities to live the golden rule, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Not looking as St. Francis would have us be reminded of counting the cost, of healing the wounds, but rather of toiling and not seeking for rest, and laboring and not expecting the kind of rewards that very often is not forthcoming from the world. My word of caution, therefore, and commendation is that we should all seek to major in the majors and not in the minors, not in the small trivialities and triflings of life, but to maximize the noon kairos, the present moment that is more embraceable and utilizable. I wonder if Samari were to take a Nehemiah glance at us, as it were, what he would say. It is so difficult to express sometimes how I feel when I come to this moment and see this outpouring of adulation and adoration and acclamation. How about giving the rose when one can smell it? Hello. How about giving the cup of water when one can feel the touch on one's lips? Thank you. Thank you. And I know time is of the essence. We need to be short to maximize and to utilize our opportunities to say, to do, to practice the good life. Because peradventure we might come to experience the good life in a man called Jesus Christ. So seeing that we are surrounded by so great a host of witnesses, let us put aside those things that so easily beset us and run with patience and perseverance the race that is set before us. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Ron Martin, and I represent WPFW, the sister station of WBAI in Washington, D.C. I also represent my family and my good friend Eugene Godfrey from Radio Havana, Cuba, who met Samori recently through me. He is here with me. Eugene San. I didn't come with a prepared speech. I know Samori would tell me, speak out of your heart, man. As one from the islands, when I first met Samori 17 years ago, I met him through our work in programming. And the way I saw Samori marshal his forces in the exercising of what he had to do, I said that man was a warrior. I thought of Shatwe, the African in St. Vincent, the island of St. Vincent, during slavery, who led the Caribs and the Africans and defeated the British over and over in a series of battles. When finally they were able to deal with Shatwe in a manner through deceit by some of his own people, he was sent away. As I looked at my friend Samori as we worked together on Eastern Parkway, I saw Samori as a gifted man, as a true man to the cause. And I often wondered, how did he do it? Mind you, I do it sometimes. Work, hardly any sleep, not much money, but just giving. The man bore a lot on his shoulders. I hurt at this time, but I'm here to say that no, Samori, I cannot hurt for you, because you still live. The legacy you have left us with continues to be the legacy of the Shatwes, the Marcus Garveys, the Kwame Toures, the Maurice Bishops. They live on. As we look at ourselves, the spirit of Samori is in us. Rita, the kids, mom, the family, my family, WBAI, do not despair. New York family, African people, world people, do not despair. The spirit of the man Samori lives in us, in each one of us. We look and see he is there. So do not despair, do not shed tears. Celebrate this life. The African way was the great way. They would have a party, they would celebrate. As the crowd stood up just now in applause, I said, this is the way Samori would love to have it. This is the way. So as we bid farewell to this shell, I leave you understanding that this man, his spirit being, was on a higher plane, and it continues to be with us. So as you leave here and you walk wherever you are, remember, Samori lives in us. So let us continue. We must bond each other. Africans, Caribbean people, Latin Americans, we must bond together. I thank you. God bless. Well, I will continue.
Good morning, everybody. It's beautiful to see every one of you here. My name is Mario Murillo, and I appreciate being here with you all. A lot of people at the station, some people refer to us as Samario. It was a struggle that the two of us waged. I like to look at it more as I being Robin to Samari's Batman. But in any event, without taking too much time, I wrote a letter to Samari last night. And I said, oh, my dear brother Samori, you must be so annoyed at us right now, spending so much time honoring you when you spend so much time deflecting much of the credit and adulation that you so rightfully deserve. In a world where celebrity is so often bestowed upon mediocrity, you are so genuine and always making it very clear to us that it's not about me. You always said, it's not about me. It's about the mission. It's about the people. It's about the work that needs to be done. And work you did, Samori, perhaps just a bit too much. You carried the weight of so many people on your shoulders, inspiring us all to take that extra step with your commitment and your dedication. I know you touched many people around the world over the years, many of them are right here today, others who have sent messages from as far away as Vietnam and Guyana, Namibia, Cuba, etc. I want to let you know that I'm one of those people that you touched, Samori. For I witnessed how you transformed an institution with intelligence, integrity, and strength, notwithstanding the resistance of so many negative forces from both within and without. So sorry, Samori, whether you like it or not, I'm going to shine a little bit of a spotlight on you today. But how do I begin to thank you? How can I rightfully salute a person like yourself without understating what you have meant to me as a journalist, as an activist, as a brother, as a friend? Perhaps I'll just keep it simple and say thank you. Thank you for all those times I came into your office to discuss the next fundraiser or an upcoming community forum, and then I'd forget what it was that I came in to talk to you about because you would sidetrack me with an eloquent treatise on race relations in New York City, or with a psycho-cultural examination of Slick Willie's Crotch Politics, or with a brilliant analysis of the major contradictions in U.S. development policy in the Caribbean or in Eastern Europe. Thank you for all those brainstorming sessions over crumpets at Juniors in Brooklyn, the only place that we seem to get anything done. Thank you for all the phone numbers you passed over to me from your decrepit yet legendary little black book, the one that only you can make sense of after so many years of amendments and subtractions. I'm sure many of you in that book are here with us today. Thank you for always reminding me about the important things in life, like family, like loved ones, your children. As I played catch with Nemo the other day at Prospect Park, I thought about the time I bumped into Kaiser and Samori as they were walking one Saturday afternoon carefree. What a beautiful team you two made, Samori. You should be proud. Thank you for all the laughs. Yep, so many laughs. So many laughs that we shared in the office, on the air, at MSCB conferences, on Eastern Parkway, or over lunch. Who would have thought that somebody as serious as you could get so silly at times? I always found comfort in that. And I know you're probably laughing right now. I can almost hear you as we sit here missing you. You're finally able to take a little bit of a breather, rest easy, sit back, something you never seem to be able to do. But don't worry about us, Samori. We'll pick up the slack. It won't be easy, but we'll get back to work real soon. We'll continue building the institutions that you played such a key role in laying down the foundations for. We'll continue fighting for the spaces that you helped us carve out. I know, Samori, I'm like you. I'm not much of a believer, notwithstanding the surroundings. But I know you're still with us. I can feel you. And while you're probably still frowning upon the spotlight that we're shining on you today, you can rest assured that your spirit will always shine on us, your friends, your family, your community. I guess the words I was looking for at the outset are very simple right now, my brother Samori. I love you. I love you, brother. I love you. Thank you.
the drummers stop, all women and many men. The procession finished.
My name is Harry Pritchett. I'm the Dean of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. And I welcome you to this sad and solemn and celebrative occasion. We are here as family, as friends, as colleagues, as admirers, as fellow pilgrims of Samori Marksman. We are here to celebrate his life, all of that life, in all its facets. We are here to say goodbye to him, at least for this life. And we are here to commend him to the hands of Almighty God. We begin this tribute with this opening anthem, then, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The Lord's mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. The Lord will not cast off forever. Though the Lord cause grief, the Lord will have compassion. According to the abundance of his steadfast love, the Lord does not willingly afflict or grieve the Lord's children." Let us pray. Into your hands, O God, we commend our brother Samori as into the hands of a faithful Creator. In your infinite goodness, wisdom, and power, work in him the merciful purposes of your perfect will. We remember before you this day Samori, we thank you for giving him to us, his family and friends and colleagues, to know and to love as a companion on our earthly pilgrimage. In your boundless compassion, console us, mourn, give us quiet confidence that we may continue our course in faith. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, we are gathered here this morning to celebrate the life of Samori Tariq Marksman, brilliant man and resolute activist, colleague and a comrade to his WBAI and political family, a beloved husband, father, and brother to his immediate family, and a sincere friend to all who believe in social justice. His importance is somewhat reflected by those of you who found time to attend this service at such short notice. I say somewhat reflected because Samori's true impact on the world is better measured by the people he reached by his use of the airwaves to present truthful information by which they could retrofit their ability to deal with the real politics that those who represent the anti-people's interests, one of his stated terms, have imposed on us both during and in the aftermath of the so-called Cold War. Indeed, Samori Marksman, as a journalist, personified the concept of the Freedom of Information Act. He manifests this by the action of how he brought forth information regarding the freedom struggles of oppressed peoples throughout the world. He did this in such a truthful fashion, putting to shame the much flouted establishment media and their disingenuous terminology which claimed they represented all the news fit to print. Their slogan was bogus and should be better understood, as Professor Rachel Waldo Williams, one of my mentors, pointed out, all the news printed to fit. Let me take this opportunity to remind you that during these types of occasions, we often say that we assemble to celebrate the life of the deceased, not to mourn them. It's a point well taken, but the concept of celebrating one's life after their passing and mourning the loss of that life, when it is needlessly taken away from them, in some cases, are not mutually exclusive. In the case of the untimely death of Samori Marksman, this is one of those cases. Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, while I celebrate Samori's life, I also mourn his death. For Samori Marksman was an overworked, underpaid, unappreciated, unusual individual. And because he was all of these things, I mourn because he's been taken away from us. As a matter of fact, snatched away at such an early age. Moreover, his passing comes at a time when we need him most, literally at his battle station post, program director of WBAI-FM. His impression on WBAI has been so dominant that his worldview has been the main voice on radio, not just listener sponsored, but commercial as well, that fashioned a long overdue response to the powers that be. He armed the masses of many different national struggles and ethnic groups simply by allowing voices on the airwaves that reflected the objective and subjective realities in which they live daily. As we listen to major media today parroting the Pentagon's view of the war in Kosovo, Yugoslavia, we hear only the effect of the result of a long and complicated experience in the region, but very little of the causes of such problems. The question of whether the U.S. is a genuine arbitrator in this conflict, with its own hands immaculately clean, as well as those of their NATO allies, or does the Western allies have a hidden agenda based rather on their own vested interests than any of the embattled parties that Al-Hawi ever raised? Samori's interest, however, would be just those points. He would find guests from anywhere in the world to give people a more objective selection of information on the current rebalkanization of the Balkans. You could either accept the information or reject it. But because of Samori's offerings, we at least had a chance to hear additional reasons to form your analysis. In this regard, he used the same template when he addressed the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We stood shoulder to shoulder and back to back on these critical issues. There was also a mutual understanding we had to uphold the principle that the so-called ending of the Cold War did not necessarily signify the death of imperialism nor its interests. After being forced to submit the classical form of outright colonial rule to acquiesce to the process of decolonization, Samori understood that the Western imperialist powers had adapted to new realities and were able to perfect a neo-colonial model that would reign supreme for the better part of the post-World War II period. And after the victories of the national liberation in Africa that were pursuing non-capitalist roles of development, with the dissolution of the USSR and the socialist bloc during the last decade, and the emergence of a unipolar world headed by the U.S. and its competing allies under its neoliberal globalization umbrella and privatization projects, Samori's concerns were now the recolonization and depopulation activities that were being directed against Africa. Thus, Samori used the airways to broadcast his assessment to the minds of the public, which had been inveigled into believing that all matters of legitimate conflict in Africa had been adjudicated. To an unsuspecting public, the tragic images of a continent of starving people engaged in internecine wars over irredentist claims against each other simply reflected African capability to govern modern nation states because of their own ineptitude and not by any outside interference on the part of the covetous former colonial rulers. Samori fought this interpretation with all his heart and soul. Samori was by conviction an ultimate optimist. He believed that Africa would overcome its problems and those problems covertly creating chaos and retarding the development of its people. He maintained strong support for those who had successfully fought their struggle for national liberation and used his talents to further forward their progress. He was known by the compatriots of SWAPO and the members of the government of Namibia, including President Dr. Sani Nyong'o, Prime Minister Dr. Hage Geingob, and Foreign Minister Theo Bengurion, among others. In fact, it was Prime Minister Geingob who informed me of Samori's death when the news reached Namibia, where I was the Prime Minister's guest for the 9th anniversary of the independence of the former Southwest African colonial territory that had fought for 23 years to free itself from the apartheid regime of South Africa. In the struggle against the racial regime in South Africa, throughout the years, we supported almost every revolutionary formation against the fascistic regime in Pretoria, primarily the African National Congress, with moral, material, and informational support until and even after its victory in 1994. Similarly, we believe in Puerto Rico's right to independence, as well as Northern Ireland in their struggle against the British. The list is endless. For close to 30 years, we shared a strong revolutionary camaraderie. We rejoiced together in the New Jewel Movement's victory in 1979. We were saddened by its overthrow in 1993. Likewise, we find ourselves supporting the manly governments in Jamaica and the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. And of course, the triumph of the revolution in Cuba was always held there. We were both awarded the Croix de Chivalry, which is the Cross of Chivalry, on behalf of our work for the Guinean Revolution in 1974. An achievement that we were told had not been bestowed on Africans from the diaspora previously. And this past November, we shared an interview with President Laurent Kabila of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which appears in the current Covert Action Quarterly. But perhaps the biggest struggle we were involved in was his last. The struggle to bring the original ideas of Pacifica Final Blue Hill in step with the realities of today, and the national and cultural struggle that has divided various regions of the world into battling among themselves and against Western imperialism and global capital. The latter struggle is one that Samori had to wage even against the people who were supposed to be maintaining the public of this system of the downtrodden, public broadcasting and listener-sponsored radio. It would be the fight of his life and would cost him dearly. Samori fell in battle. His influence even on other stations like WLIV is little known, but was caused the whole new format, which last 10 years of talk format came out of a struggle around Samori and his release from WLIV. He was sensitive because, as a soldier, he was attached to a detail that had to bring the news and the bodies home to the people who were in grief. And so today we do celebrate his life. And I'd like you to do something for me at this particular time, which we shared in our belief and how we deal with those who have actually died in battle. Most often people say that when we have these occasions, we should have a moment of silence. Well, I ask you to do something different today. I want you to rise. And I want you to give Samori Marksman a standing round of ovation to let everybody know how we feel about him. Of the Marksman family, we want you to know we love you, we will support you, and we will make sure that Samori's legacy lives on forever. Thank you very much.
Sisters and brothers in struggle, my name is Roberta Walker Kilkenny. I met Samori in the fall of 1970 on the campus of City College. He had been involved in the struggles at Sir George Williams University in Canada and had come to settle in New York, where he was looking for students who might join him in building the African Caribbean Mobilization Committee. In those early days, Samori described himself as a citizen of the world. It would be many years before I learned that he was born on the Caribbean island of St. Vincent. The place of one's birth was never an important distinction to Samori, was never something that should separate people. He was, even 30 years ago, an internationalist as well as a Pan-Africanist. A mutual friend told Samori that there was a young African-American student who had traveled to the Caribbean and appeared to have an interest in political and social developments there. After a brief conversation, Samori volunteered me, and I use that phrase quite deliberately, he volunteered me to become, I believe, the only non-Caribbean member of the ACMC. The ACMC met regularly in Brooklyn, or as Samori would later call it, the People's Republic of Brooklyn. Many of its members are here today. We form study groups analyzing the works of Nkrumah and Fanon, among others. Most weekends, we distributed the news organs of the various radical and progressive Caribbean organizations, such as the Nul Jewel Movement, at the entries to Prospect Park. And we hosted a variety of cultural and educational activities at 1310 Atlantic Avenue. Among the cultural activists that I remember at 1310 were Miriam Makeba, who in those days was being denied concert tours because of her marriage to Kwame Ture, and also a then little-known Dr. Ben. As the African Liberation Movement stepped up their activities, the Pan-Africanist sentiment within the AMC came to the fore, and we renamed ourselves the African Mobilization Committee. We shifted the focus of our activities increasingly to the support of the liberation movement in the former Portuguese colonies and in southern Africa. But whether it was a focus on the Caribbean or on Africa, Samori encouraged total commitment and total solidarity. It was this understanding of solidarity and internationalism that would take Samori and Lloyd to West Africa, Ivy, Nixie, and Mervyn to East Africa, Louis, myself, and others to the Caribbean. And a few years later, it was Samori who was a major motivator in Don Rojas's decision to work and struggle in Grenada during that country's short-lived revolution. A very good mutual friend said the other day that Samori is a revolutionary and journalism is his weapon. Samori is a revolutionary and journalism is his weapon. I think this is an important distinction. It was not because Samori would later become a broadcast journalist that he had access to various African and Caribbean heads of state, such as Sam Nyong'o and Maurice Bishop. Rather, it was Samori's history of total solidarity, his total commitment to work on behalf of SWAPO, the New Jewel Movement, and other organizations that won him the respect of those organizations' leadership as well as their rank-and-file members, many of whom Samori worked with during their years of exile in North America. Samori never spoke of their struggle. It was always our struggle, our movement, our comrades. And as a comrade, he did not shirk from criticizing when he thought that errors had been made. But let us be very clear. The right to say our is something Samori earned. It is not something that one gives oneself. It is no error or oversight that I speak of my friend of 30 years in terms of our political connection. It was the struggle for liberation and justice that was the focus of Samori's life. But Samori was also a husband and father, a brother, nephew, and son. It was not always easy for him to strike a balance between these facets of his life. But he was as committed to his family as he was to political struggle. And for him, there was no distinction between the two. Samori was struggling for a world in which his children, as well as ours, could grow strong and proud. If we are truly sisters and brothers in struggle, then we must say to Rita and the children, to Samori's brothers and sisters and the rest of his family, that we are your sisters and brothers as well. We will always be here for you, not just today, but all of our tomorrows. And we will continue the struggle to make this a world in which Samori's children can grow to a full and enriching adulthood. And finally, Rita, we must especially thank you for making it possible for Samori to walk among us these past 20 years as you devoted yourself to raising three young, proud warriors. I thank you.
Skipping ahead, music interlude.
celebration of Samoa. I'm Amy Goodman, and I've worked with Samori at the radio station for 14 years. Samori, samurai, our intellectual warrior. Samori was my rock and my mentor. It wasn't university professors, but Samori who taught me about and introduced me to people like Senegalese scientist Cheikh Anta Diop. Of books that he surrounded not only himself with, but all of us at the radio station. And looking at one of Franz Fanon's books, reading some of his words, and I thought I'd share not his great philosophy and ideas about the world, but a comment I thought very much embodied Samori. As we terribly grieve the loss of Samori, after only 51 years, a man who packed a century of work into that half a century. And our sorrow at not trying to prevent Samori from working as hard as he did. Franz Fanon's words jumped out. I do not agree with those who think it's possible to live life at an easy pace. I don't want that. Certainly, Samori would have said the same thing. But he did have tremendous pressures on him and a mission to fulfill and push forward. Our last conversation was about Pacifica Radio. Our last conversation was Samori talking about the need for a decentralized voice at the grassroots level that also had a national voice. But that's not one voice. It does not subsume the others. It is the building of all of those thousands of voices, the producers, the listeners, and the voices that the microphone is open to all over the world. That was Samori's commitment. He embodied the philosophy of Margaret Mead, never doubt that a small group of people can change the world. Indeed, nothing else ever has. Samori was not only a mentor and a colleague, he was my friend. Just a few months ago, he came to my father's funeral, and I read this poem, and I share it with all of you and with Samori's family, who I grieve with today. Lindy Way and Zinzi and Taifa and Rita, Judy and Lambert and all of his close family and close extended family, who is all of you. Do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. I am a thousand winds that blow. I am a diamond glint on snow. I am the sunlight on ripened grain. I am the gentle autumn rain. When you awaken in the morning's hush, I am the swift, uplifting rush of quiet birds in circling flight. I am the soft star that shines at night. Do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. Do not stand at my grave and cry. I did not die.
My name is Bernard White. I'm going to have to be brief. Generally, Samori makes sure that he takes all of the programming problems. Today we got a real one, because whenever you get a bunch of radio people together to speak, trying to keep them within a confined period of time is very difficult. But today we're gathered here to celebrate the life of Samori Marksman. First of all, let me say that Samori was not just my co-worker. He was not just an executive who occupied an office down the hall. He was my confidant. He was my comrade. He was my friend. I'm still not comfortable speaking about him in the past tense, and perhaps I never will be. Your presence here today, the massive spontaneous outpouring of support for his family, is an indication of the impact he has had on the public consciousness. But still, Samori was a very private person and suffered great pain and disappointment and relative silence. We owe this brother. We owe this brother. In preparing for today, I wanted to make sure that I gave an indication of what this man meant to me. So late last night, I wrote these few words. Word warrior, conscious brother, I will miss you. I held tightly onto your coattails as you took me on a 20-year journey, a journey which touched all the continents as well as all the islands in between. Harriet Tubman, Sam Nujoma, Patrice Lumumba, Maurice Bishop, Fidel Castro, Eric Williams, Frantz Fanon, Thomas Sankara, Fannie Lou Hamer. We shared the same heroes and fought the same demons. Word warrior, I will miss your sense of humor. The late night, early morning phone calls. Dr. White, hello, Samori. My brother, how are you, brother? Have you rested well? I knew at that point that there was no use to fight. I could feel my will to resist oozing out of my body, being replaced by his latest brainstorm. Word warrior, I will miss your intellect. There was no issue you could not handle, no contradiction you did not challenge, no spokesperson for idiocy that you did not disrobe before us. And we all cheered you on. Get him, Samori. Get him, Samori. Word warrior, I will miss your organizational skills. In the face of narrow-minded self-interest, you transformed WBAI into an institution that we became proud of, an institution which reflects the composition of the city in which we live.
From the same institution. You both graduated from that same institution that graduated generations of activists. You both graduated from the United States Infantry. And third, we both came from families that were oppressed. My family was locked up in a concentration camp during World War II in California. And Samori was always an internationalist. And he said he had an affinity for the Japanese people. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yes. He said that Samori could also be pronounced Samurai. And I said to myself, yes, every time I see him now, I see Samori with his sword, with his Samurai sword, cutting against red tape, cutting against oppression, cutting against evil, saying, hi-ya! Samori was also a beacon. He was a role model for a whole new generation of broadcasters. But you know, he never lost his sense of humility and humor. He always liked a good joke. One day I said to him, I said, Samori, as a nuclear physicist, I have devised an acid test to indicate whenever Ronald Reagan is telling a lie. It works every time.
And Samori said, yes, what is this acid test? And he said, try it tonight when you see the president on television. I said, this is the test. If his lips move, you know he's lying. Try that on Mayor Giuliani.
And Samori would always invite me to the WBAI forum. He would always ask me to attend and speak. When Samori called, I came. And he always liked it when I began my speech by saying, the most important thing that every activist must remember, the most important thing we must cherish, the most important thing we must carry in our hearts is honor your pledge. You take American Express, Visa, and MasterCard. $25 if you're unemployed, $50 if you're employed. 279-3400. It's been changed, of course. And then at these forums, I would say that, yes, in this country, we have freedom of the press, if you happen to own one. And we own our press in WBAI-FM. We own our press. So let me say that Samori has given us this sword, the samurai sword of Radio WBAI. We should be energized by it. And in parting, let me say that as Joe Hill said just before he was hung, don't mourn, organize. After this memorial, I want each and every one of you to go out in the streets, to go out there for social change, social justice. Because I say, Samori Marksman, live like him. Dare to struggle. Dare to win. Samori Marksman, live like him. Dare to struggle. Dare to win. And finally, join me when I say, the people united can never be defeated. The people united can never be defeated. The people
united can never be defeated. The people united can never be defeated.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The name of the group is Equinox. Equinox.
Good afternoon. My name is Horace Campbell. And today, we're gathered here as our brother, our friend, our colleague is on his journey to the ancestors. He brought us all together to reflect on our purpose, on our meaning, on what are we here for? What is the meaning of our existence? Do we accept what is placed before us? How we are defined? Where we are from? Or do we seek to bring about a different form of human existence? And this is why we are all gathered here today to celebrate and to mourn and to reflect on what Samora has left us. He's saying to us, we must rise above simple categorization, but never forget where we're coming from. So, to the peoples of St. Vincent that delivered him to us and the youth of that society, we say that Samora has brought a long tradition from all of the peoples of the Caribbean who are at the crossroads of humanity, who rose beyond the forms of destruction and genocide of those who brought them to the Caribbean. And he believed in the need for not simple change, but revolutionary change. And that is why Samora always brought us the past experiences of revolution, but the present experience of revolution in Cuba, and why it is our task to defend that revolution for what it means for humanity. And that revolution that should point the way towards alternative forms of human organization. Samora linked this to the task in that continent that has been dehumanized, demonized, people who were not supposed to be human beings, the African people. And he was always seeking to develop a conception of African liberation that was not simply about leaders, about government, although we recognize that these are important tasks. And so Samora belonged to the great Pan-Africanist traditionists that raises the international questions of all human beings. And so Samora was a black person. A black person was not limited by the definition of blackness of those who oppress us, but a political definition that gives us a responsibility to release from humanity those forms of genocide, destruction, barbarism that the system of capitalism brings down on all of us. As we speak this morning, we are on the threshold of major transformations. Whether that same capitalist class is celebrating its destruction, in celebrating its barbarism, seeks to unleash war on humanity. And Samora was always fighting against militarism, violence, and warfare. And we must continue the task. This is why he brought us here. to his family, to his children, to his wife Rita, and all those who mourn his loss. It is our responsibility to ensure that his immediate family enjoys the support that he gave to all of us, and that we are responsible to continue to support them in this moment, and to continue to support them in the struggle to raise an alternative voice in the form of broadcast journalism. We must raise many voices to drown out the voices of the Babylonian oppressors. Samora Marksman sought to bring out the best in us, sought to bring out the spiritual energy that could shake this destructive social system called capitalism. We have a task before us. Samora, we accept this challenge and we will continue the work that you left us to do.
We are now running over time, which is fine. But you need to know that as of now, there is another service going on in the cathedral at the same time. And it is a very quiet one and a very small one. So we'll continue with the speeches. And if you would, just for the next 30, 35 minutes, withhold your applause. I'm sure that they can pray in peace and we can continue to listen in peace. Thank you.
My name is Viney Burroughs. Brothers and sisters, the true revolutionary is always guided by love of the people. Samora Marksman was a true revolutionary. A poem by a Ghanaian writer, African Kevin. Give me black souls. Let them be black or chocolate brown, or make them the color of dust. Dust-like, browner than sand, but if you can, please, keep them black, black. Give me some drums, let them be three or maybe four, and make them black, dirty and black, of wood and dry sheepskin, but if you will, just make them peel, peel. Peel loud, mother, loud, louder yet, then soft, softer still, let the drums peal. Let the calabash entwined with beads, with blue agri beads resound, wildly discordant, calmly melodious. Let the calabash resound in tune with the drum, mingle with these sounds, the clang of wood on tin, ken-ten to ken-ten, ken-ten to ken-ten. Do give me voices, ordinary, ghost voices, voices of women and the bass of men, and screaming babes. Let there be dancers, broad-shouldered black men stamping the ground with naked feet and half-covered women swaying to and fro in perfect rhythm to tan, chikishiki, and ken, and voices of ghosts singing, singing. Let there be a setting sun above, green palms around, a slaughtered fowl, and plenty of yam. And dear Lord, if the place be not too full, please admit spectators. They may be white or black. Admit spectators that they may see the bleeding fowl and yams and palms and dancing ghosts. Oh, the Mamikoma, do admit spectators that they may hear our native song, the clang of woods on tin, the tune of leaves, and the pealing drums, trum-hum, please, please admit spectators that they may bask in the balmy rays of the evening sun in our lovely African heaven.
Ivan Van Sertima. I wanted to read, not read, but recite a poem by Martin Carter, a poem which I read on the death of my own father. And Tomori Marksman was a kind of father spirit, brother spirit to many of us. Too soon, the banner drapes for you. I would prefer a banner in the wind, not bound so tightly with a scarlet fold, not sodden, sodden with your people's tears, but borne aloft, down and beyond this dark, dark lane of pain. Dear comrade, if it must be that I no longer walk with you, no longer talk with you, no longer march with you, then I must take the patience and the calm, for even now, a greener leaf that floats, sun brightens stone, and all the rivers burn. Thou from the morning vanguard moving on, Tomori, I salute you, and I say, death shall not find us thinking that you die. Thank you.
Dream the impossible dream before. point in. I'm a
dentist.
I'm from Liberia. Human resource loan to Rutgers University. I want to express our condolences to you, Rita, to the children and the family. Samora Tarek Marksman, the potential journalist, humanitarian, civic leader, educator, and oh yes, the indisputable champion of the Liberian cause. I stand here as a symbol for thousands of Liberians who know that they have been blessed by the man Samora, a man who fought with this inimitable eloquence to demonstrate that Liberia has been treated with malignant neglect by the international community, unlike the Sarajevos, the Bosnians, Kosovos of our time. His persistence in articulating our cause was stupendous and amazing. He projected a persona that seemed larger than life. When I appeared with him several times on his show, I was always dazzled by the depth and breadth of his knowledge. His wisdom and intellect were matched only by the dedication and passion he brought to his work. It was with this diligence that he pursued the Liberian cause. As a journalist, he was relentless in the pursuit of the superb while fostering progressive journalism, of which Liberia was a beneficiary. Samora defied place. He defied time. He defied circumstance. He leaves with us a legacy of excellence, dedication, and fulfillment. His was a life of endless giving and selfless living. An extraordinary man who lived an exemplary and visionary life. Our thoughts are reflected in Oliver Wendell's poems, words of 1886, which I dedicate to Samora. Thus, we can gain the secret joy of this thinker, who knows that 100 years after he is dead, men and women who never heard of him will be moving to the measures of his thoughts, the subtle rapture of the continuous power of which the world knows, not because it has no external trappings, but which in prophetic vision is more real than that which it commands an army. Samora, we give thanks for your life. Samora, we pronounce the immortality of your essence. May your soul rest in peace.
To Rita and the family, good afternoon. I'm Rosemary Mealy. For 9 days, our hearts have been like an open wound, begging for nature to take control of the healing process as we confront our daily torment and our silent emptiness. We have summoned everything tangible and not so tangible to ease the pain of having lost someone so dear. We have prayed, we have mourned, we have meditated, we have embraced each other in our tears and our loss. And we have cried out to our ancestors, taken solace in the poet's words. Hear the fire speak, hear the water speak, listen in the wind to the bush that is sobbing. This is the ancestors breathing. Listen to things more often than to being. In the midst of our sorrow, we have come together this spring morning to transform our collective pain into a celebration of life of our brother Samora. Samora, a partner in struggle, always understood the need to convey
progressive international thought, whether it was interpreting the realities of people's struggles and victories in Palestine, El Salvador, Vanuatu, North Korea, Namibia, Mosambique, the Polisario, Panama, El Salvador, Santo Domingo, around the corner, down the road, he advanced a point of view which was not to eschew or limit the ability to be true, because to him to be true was connected to being objective. Zamori, the internationalist, the revolutionary Pan-Africanist, lived and demonstrated the value of putting international information into the hands of everyday folk so that they could use it in their own local work. Under Zamori's leadership, the African and Caribbean Resource Center instituted the France Fanon Freedom Award. In 1992, upon my return from Cuba working as an internationalist for the Institute of Cuban Radio and Television, I was the recipient of this distinguished award. And when I questioned Zamori about my worthiness of such an honor, he chided me, and he said that Fanon, in his journalistic work, hammered at the theme that freedom is not given, it is seized, it is fought for, it is fashioned by men and women and nations, and that my work as a community activist and internationalist was representative of the meaning of the war. And then he added, in some words to effect, why all the fuss, Neely? This conversation naturally led, as did so many others over the years, to the discussion of one of his favorite topics and heroes, the Cuban Revolution. Zamori loves Cuba, Fidel, and its people. Zamori's keen critique of historical and contemporary analysis often took pages from Fidel's instructive assessment of U.S. foreign policy and its attempt at dominance of the world. It was through Zamori that many of us understood the historical meaning of Cuba's role in providing leadership and direction to the non-aligned movement. Zamori placed for us in the proper context what it truly means to promote a fundamental restructuring of, as Fidel said, world economy through the establishment of the new international economic order. Zamori, the internationalist, laid out the significance and provided us with an analysis of the liberating processes in Iran, the revolutionary upheavals in Grenada, and the tremendous victories of the peoples of Nicaragua under the leadership of the Sandinista Liberation Front. If it was about the Malvernas being restored to Argentina, Zamori was there. If it was about the people of Belize affirming their right to self-determination, Zamori was there. If it was about independence for Puerto Rico, Zamori was there. For Africa, Zamori was Africa, the whole continent. Our comrade brother recognized that to be an anti-imperialist meant being authentically socialist, with his eyes cast around the world. He, like Fanon, Ho Chi Minh, Fidel, Cabral, Sankara, and all the people he embraced, understood that we need to fully appreciate the need to build alliances and to always identify with the interests of the working class and the socialist state and the peasant masses of the so-called developing nations. And in the course of struggle around the global threat to peace, he intoned the necessity of our being ever vigilant in the struggles against what he termed creeping fascism, right here in the United States of America, right here in the city of New York. Zamori's international spirit challenged us community activists to be resilient in our commitment to struggle, because as one of his favorite poets, Pablo Neruda of Chile, verse, the people are the rulers and their hands direct the lightning in defense of the human race. We will remember and hold dear to our hearts the memory of Zamori, and reaffirm our commitment to the struggle for life, because he lives by the credo stated in some of his favorite quotes by Fidel: solidarity is not an act of charity, The ideals for which we struggle are the standard bearers of the most honest and worthy in today's world and the certain and victorious emblems of tomorrow's world. Thank you, Brother Samori. Now we shall be more mindful of listening to things more often than beings, for your voice will forever bombard the spirit winds. Thank you.
My name is Sally O'Brien. I bring my greetings today in the name of Mumia Abu-Jamal and all of our political prisoners, because Samori cared deeply about the liberation struggle here in the United States, and he never forgot those combatants behind the walls. For those of us in struggle, we need each other so much. We become each other's family. In fact, we create each other's home. When Samori died, I surely felt so much further away from home. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Oh.